Good afternoon. Happy Wednesday. It's always a happy Wednesday when huddle's in session, right? I know Stan just prayed, but I'm feeling pretty inadequate. So if you would, if you bow your heads with me, I just want to pray again. Heavenly Father, my prayer right now is that you would answer Stan's prayer. That this message is from you and this message is for everyone's heart. I pray for peace. I pray for clarity. I pray, God, that it will till the ground so that the discussions can produce a harvest of righteousness. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I got a question for you. By show of hands, how many have ever flown an airplane? All right. How many have ever ridden in an airplane or flown in an airplane? A lot more. How many have seen an airplane? Yeah. In the flight that we get on, when we ride in a plane and we get in that big long metal tube, it's a good thing that we're not seeing what the pilot's seeing, isn't it? We look out the window, we see a little snapshot of the world. That pilot is seeing everything. He's seeing the road. He's seeing the earth. He's seeing the distance. He's reading his gauges. He knows how far it is to go. He knows what route he's got to take. And all we do is go along for the ride, don't we? Wondering, hey, can I get a drink? Hey, can I get some pretzels, please? That's what we're concerned about. But up in the cockpit, there's a lot of activity that goes on when a storm hits. When an airplane flies through a cloud and the pilot can't see anything around them, it's just like a gray television screen. What do? Pilots, what do? You look at your instruments. That's right. You got to fly by your instruments. Because you can trust your instruments, can't you? And you know that that's your only hope of landing safely. So my question is, does this ever happen to you spiritually? You ever feel like, spiritually speaking, I'm in a cloud? A pilot will tell you that when they're flying in a cloud, if they look out the window and they try and fly by their senses, they'll be flying straight and it'll feel like they're turning, so they'll want to compensate for it. Their senses lie to them. The things that they see lie to them. So what pilots are instructed to do when you get in a cloud, don't look outside. Don't look at the clouds. Don't look where you are. You look at your gauges. And I'm saying that when we're like that spiritually, we don't look at our circumstances. Get your eyes off the circumstances and look at our gauges. And our gauge is what? The Word of God. Well, I want to read to you a quick story of a guy that's kind of on the same flight we're all on. It's Joshua. This is Joshua 1. I'll read it real quickly. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Don't be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now I picture Joshua, what he's got to be feeling like. He'd been following Moses. Now Moses is gone. And if it was me, I'd be saying, why did you do that? God, I don't understand. I'm in a situation where I don't think it's right. Moses is supposed to be doing this, not me. I'm not qualified to do this. I'm totally inadequate to do this. I can't lead these people. So I just imagine those are some of the things that are going through Joshua's mind, because they're the same things that go through my mind when I'm faced with situations. They're probably the same things that go through your mind when you're faced with bad medical reports, struggling marriages, death of a loved one, job loss. It's easy to say, God, why me? Why is this happening? How can I get through this? That's when it's natural for us to look out the window and try and look at our circumstances to try and gain control, when we should be looking at the instruments. Because when God told Joshua all of that, and those questions I'm imagining going on in Joshua's mind, God answered them. He already gave Joshua the answer. He said, obey the law, keep my commands, and be strong and courageous. So Joshua knew what to do. So God was telling him the answer. He was saying, trust me. Trust my word. And number one on the outline, trust the instruments. God's word is an instrument. And I picture, in this passage, I picture God like a parent or a great coach. Because they see more in us than we see in ourselves at times. And they're the ones that are saying, come on, you can do it. And we're like, I don't know if I can do it. Yes, you can. Come on. Keep it up. Keep going. Like the dad teaching their kid to ride the bike, running alongside, holding them up when they need it, letting them fall so they'll know what it feels like. But dad's right there to pick him up, get him back on the bike and say, all right, good job. Look how far you went. That's the way I picture God with Joshua. But for us, if we're flying the plane, we naturally don't want to look at the instruments because we want to look outside, because that puts us in control. If we can see where we're going, and if we can see what the lay of the land is, then we're in control and we can react to it. And that's not what God calls us to do. So number two, use the instruments even when it doesn't make sense. It goes against our nature. It doesn't make sense sometimes. But I got a question for you. Do you know what the average lifespan is for a pilot that is a non-instrumented rated pilot? So this is a pilot that has not been trained to fly in a cloud. 3 minutes. 3 minutes is the average lifespan. Someone that is trained to fly by sight, if they get into a cloud and they don't know how to fly by their instruments, they're going to crash within 3 minutes. Think about that spiritually. Are we instrument trained? Or are we used to flying by sight? Do we know that we recognize we're in a cloud? And it's, whoa, hey, it's time for me to look at my instruments. Time for me to take my hands off and start trusting something else other than what I can see. 11:1 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and wondering what else there is? No. It says faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So when we trust our instruments, regardless of what it looks like out the windshield, we're going to land safely. We are going to land safely. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, pretty common passage. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. In pilot language, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 might sound a little bit like this. Trust the instruments, not what you see or what you feel. Believe the instruments are accurate, and you'll land safely. Trust them, and you'll get down. It's really easy to do, or easy to say, isn't it? But it is hard to do. It's not complicated, but it's extremely difficult. So how do you do it? There's a number of ways that you can do life by flying by your instruments, trusting your instruments. One of the ways, God says in Deuteronomy 6, these commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts and press them on your children. Talk about when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hand. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. What he's saying is, put it everywhere you go. Talk about it all day long. And talk about it wherever you go. It's a part of your life. That's the way we learn to live by our instruments. So, do whatever you have to do to put them on the door frames and on your gates. If that means wearing a wristband to remind you to fly by your instruments. I wear these not because I want somebody to ask me, hey, what's it mean I am second? I wear this to remind myself to tell people I'm second. Can I tell you who's first? If you need to write scripture on a post-it note and stick it on the mirror every morning, you do that. If you have to put something on your dash, if you have to take a picture of Jesus Christ and tape it on the corner of your television or your computer screen so that you have to look through Him to look at the stuff on the screen, it's going to force you to live by your instruments. Another way that you can learn to fly by your instruments. Rearview mirror. When you have a rearview mirror, and you look in that mirror, and you look back over your shoulder, and you see where you've been. You've seen the messes that we've made. You see what God has done to bring you through those. And when you look in that mirror, you can say, oh, God has brought me through all of those. He's going to bring me through this. So when we've got question marks, when we can't see the path where we're headed, when we have the bad medical reports, when we have the mourning and the grief over a job or a loved one, rearview mirror says, God's faithful, God's there, He's going to carry you, just like the dad teaching his kid to ride the bike. He's right there. You can do it. You can do it. Be strong and courageous. Personally, I'm going through a time right now where I'm being stretched, spiritually stretched. And it's difficult for me. I'm using this. And when I look in that rearview mirror, I see my grandpa's faith. Because when I'm stretched right now, and I don't know that I have what it takes, I look there and I see my grandpa. Because 12 years ago, November of 2001, any of you ever... dream where you just wake up and you know it actually happened and it's for real and you just can't shake it? Well, I had a dream. My grandpa was in decent health, but he had some lung problems. And he was struggling breathing. So he had oxygen around the house whenever he needed it. He wasn't on it full time. And I had this dream. I woke up and I saw my grandpa sitting in his recliner and he was just gasping, trying to catch his breath. And my grandma was there. They lived together. They lived on their own. They're independent. They've passed on now, but they were independent. And I woke up in a cold sweat because I was afraid he wasn't going to make it. So I sat up on my bed and swung my legs over the side and just thinking, man, I hate that dream. So you know what you do. You lay back down, you close your eyes, you try and shake it and convince yourself it's just a dream, and you hope that image goes away. And it wouldn't. So I got up out of bed and my wife says, everything okay? I just had a bad dream. So I'm thinking, I'll just walk, just take a few steps and get it out of my head. So I go walk down the hall, sit down on the steps. And I'm trying to shake this feeling. So then you know how it is. Reason, logic, in the middle of the night, it's 2:30 in the morning, logic starts to take over. All right. Grandpa has to be doing fine because if he was having a problem, Grandma would call my dad. And if they couldn't get a hold of my dad, they would call me. Whew. All right, everything's fine. I start to calm down. Phone rings. One time it rings. Now I'm freaking out. I'm crying. I'm talking with God going, what am I supposed to do? Because the real issue was I didn't know where he was going to spend eternity. And so when that phone rang one time, my heart just about stopped. And I was just pleading with God, what do you want me to do? It doesn't make sense. He would call. And I just kept feeling this prodding. So I got up and I started getting dressed. And my wife says, what are you doing? What's the matter? I said, I'm going to Grandma and Grandpa's. Is everything all right? I don't know. The phone rang. I had a terrible dream. I'm going over. So go down, get in the van, hustle over. Thankfully, they live 3 minutes away. And I'm driving down Sycamore, and I'm thinking, I have no idea what I'm going to see when I turn the corner onto their house. When I turn the block, I have no idea what I'm expecting to see an ambulance, is what I'm expecting. And I'm expecting to see my parents' van. I pull in, and there's nothing. It's black. Lights are out. Nobody in the driveway. I pull in the driveway and I throw it in park. And for 15 minutes, I'm bawling my eyes out going, God, what are you telling me? What do you want me to do? I don't know what to do. So after 15 minutes, I start to put it in reverse because the lights are out. Everybody's fine. I had gone up to the door. I looked through the window. I saw my grandma laying on the couch. Everything's fine. Put it in reverse. Start to back up. Light goes on. Goes off. Now I'm really mad. I'm like, God, what in the world are you telling me? I don't know what to do. I put it back in drive. I go pull in the driveway. And now I have tears streaming down my face. Because I was afraid, the real issue was I was afraid to do what I knew I had to do, which was to confront my grandparents to find out where they're spending eternity. I was doing everything I could to avoid it. I pulled in, and after talking with God for a while, I walked up to the door, tap, 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 tap. My grandpa answers the door. Hey, Charlie, what are you doing? It's 3:30 in the morning now. He says, "Oh, you're on your way home from work?" "No, Grandpa. I had a dream and I needed to come over and talk to you." "Oh, come on in. Oh, can I get you some coffee?" "No, thanks, Grandpa. It's 3:30 in the morning. Still don't want to go. Plan on sleeping tonight." So my grandma and grandpa come in the living room. And we sit down and I just lay out the whole last hour. "Grandpa, I had this dream. You were gasping. I didn't know what to do. I sat on the stairs. The phone rang once. I got in the car. I came over. I've been in your driveway for a half an hour trying to plead with God about what I could do." Almost like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane where he says, "Can this cup pass from me?" That's what I was doing in the driveway. "Is there any other way, God, than for me to go have to confront my grandparents?" So here I am sitting in their living room. And I told them, just point blank, "I had this dream, Grandpa, that you were gasping and that you weren't going to make it. And I wasn't sure where you were going to spend eternity. And I needed to know that." And my grandpa, just as nonchalantly as possible, "Well, why did you think that? I accepted Christ a long time ago." And I looked at my grandma. She said, "I did too. We're going to heaven. We're going to be in heaven together." And I started crying. I was rejoicing. And something that I'll never forget, grandma and grandpa and I scooted our chairs close together and we sat down and we held hands and we prayed, and I thank God that even though I'm not with them right now, the next time I see them, it's going to be forever. But that was a time where I had to do something I didn't want to do. And you may be in that same spot. You've got visions in your rearview mirror. You've got things in here that you can look back on and say, "God got me through it. So what's our job right now?" When we can't see how we're going to land a plane, our job is to fly by the instruments. Keep the law. Obey the law. Keep the commands. And what else? Be strong and be courageous. Think what all you can do if you're not afraid. God has plans for you. And the pilot that trusts his instruments, he lands safely regardless of the weather around him. So when we trust the Bible, in our time of distress, he's going to get us down to a place of safety too. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments." He's like that coach. He's in your ear saying, "Come on, you can do it. Be strong. Be courageous. I'm going to land a plane for you." Will you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, I just pray in Jesus' name that you will take this message and that you will bless the discussion that's coming out of it. I ask God for strength for everyone that feels weak and inadequate. I pray for comfort and security for all those that are wondering where they're headed. God, you have a plan for us. It's to prosper us and to give us hope in a future, and we trust that. We trust you. We trust your word. You didn't fall short when you sent your son to die for us. And I pray in Jesus' name that your word will not return void when we trust it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.